Trời. Yes. He wants to, I want to see Giriraj. Raghunath Das Goswami also says that. Nija Nikata Nivasa Dehi Govardhanatvam. And those simple words, the Prayojan Tattva Charja of the Rupanuga line, is expressing our ultimate aspiration. It's not that we're just saying, oh, Raghunath Das Goswami says this, that's very interesting. No, if he says it, that means it's the thing that we have to understand. He's the Prayojan Tattva Charja of the Rupanuga line. He's saying, this is our target. Nija Nikata Nivasa Dehi Govardhanatvam. That he's praying to Govardhan, please. He actually says, near you, nearby. If you give me shelter nearby, that will be good for me. And how humble is his approach? And it's told, Muke Radha Rad Bole Veshe Nayanera Jale Radhe Radhe. It's Raghunath Das Goswami. He says Radhe Radhe. Not every person. It's what came from his heart, crawling on his hands and knees in the soil of Govardhan and Radhakund, his tears soaking his clothes. He is calling out her name. Why? Because he has a service aspiration. Asha avare amrita sindhu mayi katanchit kalo maya tigamita kila sampratam hi tam chait kripam mayi vidasa sinayiva kimme prane brajena chabororu bakarinapi. Guru Maharaj said, this is a direct prayer to Radharani. Because we could say, well, I thought you should pray to Guru first. She is Guru. She is the Guru of all Gurus, is Srimati Radharani. So when he does this, he's not violating some principle, right? And his direct prayer to her, not to Krishna, to her, because she is Guru and ultimately Guru. He's saying, through you, Krishna is meaningful. Without you, I don't know what is Krishna or who is Krishna. Right? That sort of exclusive and intense outpouring comes from the heart of Raghunath Das Goswami. So he's identified that Govardhan is the place of our aspiration. And it's the connecting thread is there between Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Saraswati Thakur, Bhaktivedanta Swami, Prabhupada, Guru Maharaj, Gurudev, all consistent on Govardhan. And we know when we're there, we're told that this, we're saying, well, but the superior Gandharvika Giridhari Jata Krita Koyala Vrindavana Hoite Shrestha Govardhana Vrindavana Hoite Govardhana Shrestha Gandharvika Giridhari Jata Krita Koyala. Saraswati Thakur, in one of his songs, has written, superior to the pastimes of Vrindavan are the pastimes in Govardhan. But we know, according to Rupa Goswami and others, superior pastimes take place in Radha Kunda. So then, what? Saraswati Thakur would say, yes, our superior gurus, they reside in Radha Kunda. And we reside in Govardhan, and the those Govardhan dwelling devotees, early in the morning, they go to Kusum Sarovara, pick flowers there, go to Radha Kunda, serve the superior gurus there, and return to Govardhan. That he revealed. So, and it's there in the expression of Raghunath Das Goswami. So, gradually, we begin to perceive the significance of certain pastimes. That it's not just a random collection of very wonderful stories, right? But there's some structure to be detected. As I mentioned many times recently, Rath Yatra, how that is central to the pastimes of Mahaprabhu. Think about it, celebrated from anywhere from 18 to 24 years. Every year they all assemble and do that. So it's not something of peripheral interest. Right? Arbitrary. It's central. And there's ontological basis and merit behind it. Same thing with Govardhan. But how is it introduced? We have to give attention to. So everything is about gopi vision, the way they see everything. This is their line. Srinivasa, gopi bhava rasamritam dilahari kalola magno muhur. The Goswami, they're all gopis. Just to say it bluntly, they are all gopis. All of the associates of mine, his internal group, they are all gopis, sakis and mandris, the whole group of them. And that they descend and take the forms of men, that's even significant. To show how sacred this is, and it's not like the male women of this world. But almost every last one of them is a Saki or a Manjari in the spiritual world. And then they come in these charming male forms and sing the glories of the Braja Gopis. If they came as women, then they think, oh, then they're going to say women are the best. But they're more clever than that. They come as men and say that women are the best. So then it's more reliable. And Mahaprabhu, considering everything, this who's lost at mad praise of Radharani and these gopis, he's a sannyasi. Is that right? Should the monks be always thinking about women? We're told, no, the monks, they're not supposed to think about women. But here, this monk's always talking about Radharani and these women. Then either he's bogus or they're not ordinary women. There's only one of two conclusions. Why this great sannyasi is saying that these teenage girls for Vrindavan are the supreme devotees. That's a peculiar thing. It needs to come from someone like that. As Sukadev speaks the Bhagavatam, if he says the pastimes of Eros, of Radha and Krishna and the Braja Gopis are the highest thing, it comes from someone who is... To describe him as a celibate would be an insult, really. He's liberated in the womb of his mother. He makes no distinction of male or female. He's not a celibate. He's a Siddha Purush, a Maha Purush. Celibacy is like for people with problems in this world to overcome their mundane. He's not that kind of person. I think, well, we recommend celibacy for you, or it'll be good for you. He's not like that. He doesn't understand the male-female of this world. He doesn't have trace amounts of male gaze or exploiting tendencies within him. That's why that little incident is there with him walking by the pond and the girls are bathing naked and don't cover themselves because they see in his eyes there's nothing. They know. Right? So, Bhagavatam had to come from the mouth of such a Sukadev to be relied upon as being sent per the Amala Puranam, 100% pure. Ramya Kachid Brajabadu Bargena Cha Kalpita. Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur saying, Aradhya Bhagavan Brajesha Tonayas Tadama Vrindam. No one invented a superior way to worship God than the Brajagopis. And you think, well, that's your opinion. And we hear you're one of them. So how reliable are you? He said, no, the Bhagavatam is the evidence. Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanamamalam, the spotless Purana. No tinge, what to speak of tamagun and rajagun, it has no tinge of sattvagun. Sattvam vishuddham vasudeva shabditam. It's totally transcendental. It's not a sattvagun thing, really. It's beyond that. Amala, and what? Srimad Bhagavatam, pramanam amalam. Prema, pumarto, mahan. And it's the book that tells you that Krishna prem, divine love, that's everything, that's the ultimate goal, that's what the ultimate reality is about. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Matamidam Tatrapi Napara. And there's no other thing you need to know than this. And this is what Mahaprabhu came to tell you. And as we just saw in Vrindavan, and Mahaprabhu, what is his, who is his worshipable deity? Giriraj Govardhan. Small, like that. And he keeps on his heart with his thumb like this. And there's an imprint they can show you. That means intense. And that he gives to who? Raghunath Das Goswami. Is it an interesting thing, a curious thing, an incidental thing, it's arbitrary, or is it deeply significant? That's the deity he gives to Raghunath Das Goswami. Right. So, how do the gopis see Govardhan? That is important. We want to know how they see things and align ourselves with that, with their divine vision. So it's interesting that in the Bhagavatam, maybe in the Gopi Gita, or anyway, leading up to that, not there, but leading. They're praising Govardhan and saying, Hantaya Madhvilabala Haridasa Varja Yad Rama Krishna Charana Sparasha Pramoda Manam Tanoti Sahago Ganayas Tayoryat Pani Yasuya Basakandara Kanda Mule. And say, Hantaya Madhvilabala, like in the Matsloka. Koladri Raja, Adri means Giriraj. Hantayam Adrilabala, Haridas Varja. It's interesting. They don't say, oh, Govardhan, you're Krishna. They say, you're Haridas Varja. You are the best of the Haridas. Why are you calling Krishna Haridas? Haridas, that means the servant of Hari. They're saying, no, you're the best servant of Krishna. No, I thought the whole story is saying that Govardhan is Krishna. And they're saying, you're the best servant of Krishna. Why? Because you supply the sweet grasses for the cows to eat. Your soft earth is to the touch of the lotus feet of Rama and Krishna makes you ecstatic. And there are many caves, mystical caves, some of them described in the Garga Sangita, where Radha and Krishna and Brajagopis have their confidential pastimes. So they say, Haridas Varja. So Guru Mahar said, really, Giriraj, Govardhan, is like Mahaprabhu. He said he is presenting himself as a devotee, but internally he's Krishna. He said, so they're very similar. And the gopis are saying, you're Haridas Varja, best of the servants of Krishna. So it's Krishna, but in the mood of a servant of Krishna. That's what is distinguishing about this. So, and how do these things come about? We know that the annually, the cowherd men in Vrindavan, their cowherding is their livelihood. And because it's Vedic times, they have some, they're not foolish primitive people worshipping the sun and the moon and the wind and the water. They're advanced and worshipping the sun and the moon and the wind and the water. Because I think anyone with any sense, how can you live without air or sunlight? And then suddenly, no, and photosynthesis. Yeah, that someone said, I saw that they said, they should invent a machine that, you know, that processes carbon monoxide, you know. And someone said, there is a machine that does that. It's called a tree. You know. So they understand, but in the background of this objective world is the world of consciousness. Consciousness is never devoid of personality. So when they address the moon, it's as a person. The sun as a person. The wind as Vayu. The water, Varun, and on and on and on. And so they also understand the seasons. Like even here in Thailand, you know, the farmers, they understand like lunar calendar. When to plant, when not to plant, this time of the year, not that, this lunar phase, not that time, to get the good result. They're not foolish. They're actually wise. They have some understanding. It's other fools who come in and do otherwise. They know, no, this is the time you plant, not at that time. And when the moon is like this, this is the good time and not that. So it's something like that. So they realize our cows eat grass. Grass are produced from rain. Indra is the god of the rain. So we should once a year have an Indra yagya, Indra puja, and offer something to him. Like where your shop is where Brahma, right? But down the block is Indra. Yes. Then across the street, I think it's Ganesh. Yes. Pati Kaneya, you know. And then, I don't know, who's on?
Lakshmi.
Lakshmi. There you go. That's in the heart of Bangkok. Right? And Vishnu. Right. So it's in the heart of Bangkok, these four corners. Right? So they're offering something to Indra every year. And they're preparing. And it shows, they're Jnana Shunya Bhaktas, so they're getting all the ingredients like we do, like Indra Dumna Prabhu loads up the van. And they say, what are you doing with all this? So they say, what are you going to do? They say, oh, it's the annual Indra Puja Yajna. And Krishna, Abala, it's interesting play on words. Abala also can mean a talkative, a precocious child. So first it seems like innocently he's asking questions. Oh, what is it? Oh, it's a big... Oh, we do this every year? Yeah, yeah. And then he says, is it something we just do and no one really knows why? It's one of those things? And they go, well, not exactly, you know. It's okay if it is, I'm just wondering. Because a lot of things are like that. You go, like, you grow up doing it and then don't really know why. And then you find out later. And they say, well, we do it for this reason and that reason. Indra supplies the rain, and then the rain, the grass grows, then the cows eat the grass, and then with their four stomachs, they convert it into milk. And then from milk, we make butter, yogurt, curd, etc. And that's our livelihood. So we're offering some tribute. It's only... It's the honorable thing to do and express some gratitude for this. And then Krishna starts speaking different philosophies to defeat them. Some of the philosophies he's speaking are what you would call atheism. Right? So apparently God finds it amusing to spout atheistic... I mean, for him it must be extra funny. because he knows the answer to that question about whether or not God exists. So it must really be an inside joke kind of thing. But then he's saying, well, but wait a minute. Children saying, but I see, Daddy, that it rains on the cement. And it rains on the water where you don't need rain. It doesn't just rain on the grass. It rains all over the place. They're going, good point. Yeah. And he said, and also, if what you're saying is true, like you do this and then he responds with that, so he starts being what is called karmavad, then he has no say in the matter. As long as you do the right thing, he has to respond. He can't not respond. So there are people in the world who say, oh, I don't know if there's a God or not, but I know what's right and I know what's wrong. So I do what's right. And if there's a God, I'm doing what's right. And if there's no God, I'm doing what's right. So I do what's right. You know, wow, you're such a wonderful person. Thank you for sharing. Right? But see, when they say that, it's like, oh, that makes, you know, that's kind of, yeah, all right, you know. But what they're doing is God's not in the picture anymore. So what's supreme is karma, doing what's right. So Krishna is saying to them, if what you say is true, then as long as you're doing what's right, he has no say in the matter. Whether you give him a tribute or not, he must respond to the good things that you do. So you don't need to do that. You don't need to worship God. But it's Krishna. In this case, he's saying a devata, but it's the same principle. And he goes through one atheistic philosophy after another to the point that where Nanda and the other listening to this precocious boy who's saying these things and getting nervous, some of them, and others are bewildered. Nanda Maharaj, they're thinking like, he's bound by love and affection. And then Krishna ups the ante by saying, I have a better idea. Oh, what's that? All this stuff you got together to worship Indra, what we should do is worship Govardhan. And I'll tell you why. Because it's Govardhan that gives us the sweet grass, the sweet water, like hapaniya, paniya suya vasakandara kandamule. We get the good water from Govardhan, the sweet water, the sweet grass that the cows love so much, and those caves that those gopis talk about sometimes. All these good things come from Govardhan. So really, let's just take all the things that were meant to worship Indra and worship Govardhan. That's my suggestion. And Nanda Maharaj is saying, like, all right. And some are saying, like, oh, he has too much affection for his son. He's under the influence of this boy. You know? And others are thinking, like, okay. Some are going, I don't think this is a good idea. And they have different opinions. But Ananda Maharaj is in charge. He's the king there. He's the king of Vrindavan, by the way, in case anybody was wondering. Krishna's his son. That's why he's like Brajendra Sutta, Brajendra Nandan. Braja Indra is Nanda. The Indra of Braja is Nanda. And Brajendra Nandan, he's the son of the king of Vrindavan. He prefers that position. So anyway, they agree, and it's like new rule. What's that? We're worshiping Vrindavan and not Indrani. All right, okay, everyone. They're all Jnana Shunya Bhaktas, like, okay. Jai, boss. Get on. And that's what they start to do. And meanwhile, Indra, like politicians, they're always like, what are my numbers in the polls? And Braja, You know, I hear they're turning against me. What's my favorability rating? And Nanda Gokul, it's going down? You know, like, who's this Krishna? You know, it's some kid in Vrindavan, don't worry about it. No, but where, you know, where's my annual offering, the tribute they have to pay me every year? They're skipping this year. So he's very insulted. He has some ego. King of heaven. Indra means king, by the way. They all have different names. I forget this one's particular name. But each Indra has a name. Because like Manus, there are many different Indras. It's complicated. But it's like Indra is the general term for the king of heaven. So they, you know, start getting all the cows, the yogurt, all the ingredients together. They're going to worship Govardhan. And what do we see? That while Krishna's conducting all these things, at one point, they do see that Govardhan turns into Krishna. And he, with like arms that are infinitely, he's eating everything. Huge, like, as they say, mountains of food. And he's eating them all. They're saying, he's Krishna here, but he's Krishna there. And it's some marvelous, miraculous thing. But I guess it's like the when they say like someone like is going to eat your lunch, you know. and also, I just point out because I find it interesting and on a comparative religion analysis that, one of Christ's sayings that people go like, and Christ said, you know, render to Caesar what is Caesar's, render to God what is God's. And that's supposed to be like how Caesar means the government and, you know, God. But I'm saying, but in Krishna Leela, what Krishna is saying, what is meant for Caesar, you also give to God. Don't give it to Caesar. And I know someone can misinterpret this, but such is life. But he's really saying, what was meant for Caesar, give that to God too. That's good for you. But then he said, but if I don't that, then Caesar's going to be angry. Indra's going to be angry. And what Guru Maharaj said in principle, it means when you decide to give your accumulated assets, which include yourself, most importantly, to Krishna, the world turns against you. It happens. Your family, your friends, they want to stop you from this Krishna-giving culture. That's what he said it means. But that's not all it means. Because then what happens, Indra being denied his tribute and being in charge of tornadoes, hurricanes, tsunami, whatever you can imagine, and thunderbolts, starts attacking Vrindavan. And remember, in the very first verse of the Bhagavatam, it said, when it comes to understanding Krishna, muhyanti yatsuraya, it's there in the first sloka, that even the gods are bewildered in understanding Krishna. Brahma vimohan, Indra mohan. So here's one of those, what they told you on page one. This, it's like telling you what you're going to see here. And it's going to help you understand properly Krishna conception and get a right foundation before the ultimate gift of the Bhagavatam, rasa, will be given. This is necessary to unpack all of these pastimes and get a foundation so that you'll be ready to properly receive the ultimate sweetness of Krishna conception. So it starts raining. like the end of the world, and Vrindavan's being, and the thunderbolts are striking, and now all of the people who listen to Krishna, but interestingly, including the cows and calves, like they all go together, you know. And, you know, they're like, you know, Krishna, we listen to you. You told, and we still believe in you. But because of doing what you said, now we're in big trouble. And Krishna, he likes this drama. You know, like one of our friends really likes a lot of drama, you know, like Krishna. He likes drama. If there's no drama, it's like, it's a boring movie. Something has to go wrong, you know, for it to be interesting, and then for the good guys to save the day, you know. It's classic Krishna, you know, it has to like always go like way too far. And then, so they're there crying out to Krishna. Krishna's in his house, like listening to everybody. And then it's mentioned, he has many Shaktis, and they're Shakti in general, but then divided into groups. Leela Shakti, Pushta Shakti, one comes some Hariki Shakti, Vishwanath Chakrabarti points out. So Krishna, he's wearing a very beautiful turban and dressed very nicely, and he starts running towards Govardhan because the lightning bolts and the rain and everything coming down. And by dint of his Samharika Shakti, there's like a dome, a full dome surrounding Krishna, and no rain gets on him. He doesn't have one drop of water on his turban as he runs to lift, and then he goes up to Govardhan, and we know with his left hand he lifts Govardhan, and what does it say? The way a child picks up a mushroom, right? So the verse given by, it's actually from Nanda Maharaj, at the conclusion of all of this, he's so happy that he says these words recorded by Veda Vyas, Deve Varshati Yagya Viplava Rusha Vrajrasa Varshanilai Siddhat Palu Pasha Striyatma Sharanam Kampayam. Then one of the Leela Chilindram Dita Bibra Mahindra Madhibit Priyanda Indra Gavan. I missed a few words. Maybe they'll come. But he's saying, he's telling the whole pastime in a nutshell, but Leela Chilindram Dita means that he plucked, he lifted Govardhan like the way a child picks up a mushroom. They go, just, it was like so smooth. It wasn't like he went, you know, like he just like picked it up and he's holding it and says, come on, you know, everyone, come under, take shelter of Giriraj Govardhan. He doesn't say of me. He's saying, take shelter of Govardhan. So not only Das Goswami saying it, Krishna's saying it too. And it's not just in this pastime. He's telling us that. Take shelter of Giriraj Govardhan. Right? Even one stone is infinite, is the whole of Govardhan. Don't think because he's small. He's infinite and can give shelter. Even when we're in trouble, you know, for pursuing Krishna consciousness, we take shelter of him. We believe that will help us. So everyone comes, and then we're told. But remember, they're jnana shunya bhaktas. As Guru Maharaj said, Krishna likes to surround himself with ignorant people, which is a joke, but what he means to say is like, they're ignorant of his identity, because that's yoga maya. If at every moment you're thinking, this is the same Krishna who showed the universal form to Arjuna, as Mahavishnu, universes come out of his pores, that could be distracting. So Yogamaya, you forget that and just see, what a beautiful looking person who's so fun and compassionate and marvelous in every possible way. And that makes Krishna happy. So they've forgotten all of that. It's all in a suppressed position. They can know it in any moment, but it's in a suppressed position. It's in the background. So they're thinking, like, how long can this kid hold the Govardhan Hill? And it maybe can't hold, maybe it's going to go like, whoa, you know. You'd have to get it in the right spot, right? So it didn't, like, tilt. So they're thinking, with their cow herding, like, they're going to hold it up. They're not doing anything, really. They're just like that. But, and we hear from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that Mother Yashoda and Rohini are worried. But she's Gyanashunya Bhakti, so she's thinking, like, he's just a boy. How long can he hold it? But if he's just a boy, he couldn't do this at all. But she's saying, like, how long can he do it? And it's like, day one. He's not, day two. Right, day three. And like, so we don't. Yashoda and Rohini, they start feeding Krishna butter to give him strength. And we're told at the same time, Krishna's trying to impress the Braja Gopis. And out of his eye, like looking at them, and they're going, oh, he's so wonderful. And then at the end, Indra starts coming to his senses and realizing, this is not any ordinary boy I'm dealing with. And Krishna, Indra stops all of the assault. And Krishna, everyone leaves. He replaces Govardhan in exactly the same place. Not a grain different. And we're told, Vishwanatha, some of the cowherd men, they come up to Krishna and start massaging his left arm. Like, it must be sore after 7 days of like that. They're working on his arm. That shows you how much they love Krishna and are concerned for him. But then Indra, realizing his foolishness, comes down. His carrier, an elephant named Airavata. And if you recall, in the churning of the milk ocean, Chandra, the moon, came out, Lakshmi Devi came out, and Indra's elephant also came out. So again, it has some significance. So they come, and Surabhi comes, and they're Indra's, you know, offering prayers, asking for forgiveness, and they decide to have the Abhishek of Krishna. And Surabhi is giving the milk, Airavata, like the water, and the end result is Govinda Kunda. But when Indra is offering his prayers, the last line in the verse says, Bibrad Goshtam Mahendra Maribit Priyan Indra Govan. Mahendra is also another name for Indra, the great king Indra, the great king of heaven. But he says to Krishna, up to this point, he's known by various names, and we know Govinda is one of the all-time great names of Krishna and his eternal name. But there's always some Puranic or Lilic pastime to connect all these things. So Indra says, I may be the king of heaven, but you are the Indra of the Gava. Gava means cows. So he's saying, you're the Indra of the cows, and you're the lord of the cows, the king of the cows. So you're Indra Gava, or Priyana Indra Gavan, or put it the other way, Gava Indra. And if you employ Sandhi in Sanskrit, the joining of these words, Gava Indra becomes Govinda. So he's saying, you are Govinda. That's who you are. And then that becomes the name of Krishna, and they have the big celebration. And Srila Gurudev wrote in his Arati song, he wrote more than one, but in one of them he said about Govinda Kunda, because at the Mat, because it's mentioned perhaps in the Garga Sangita, and he wrote there, he said, sometimes fortunate souls, when they're bathing in the Govinda Kunda, a little water will get in their mouth while bathing. It's possible, right? Because you dunk your head under. And he said, sometimes fortunate souls, when that little water gets in their mouth, they will taste milk. And it'll be that milk that Indra did Abhishek of Govinda, creating Govinda Kund. And it should be mentioned, at the time of the inauguration of the Govinda, of Giriraj, the Mandir in the center of Govindakund at Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat in Navadvip. It's the first day, and the, you know, Gurudev went, and then there's the swan boat, and they went, and then this one boat, so many devotees wanted to go, the boat was overloaded. So halfway out, it started sinking, and the boat sunk. And there were some ladies, naturally, they're dressed, wearing full, you know, sari, petticoat, everything. And now they're like drowning in Govindakunda. And then they were saved by devotees, and no one was harmed. But we couldn't help but think of the song of Gurudev, where he said that sometimes fortunate souls, you never know how good fortune is going to come to you, so that some of the water would enter their mouth and they would taste that milk, the milk of paradise, as the poet says. Hare Krishna. So, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said that in his final days, there was a panda. In these places, there's always a panda, and the pandas are actually designated. It's not a random thing, actually. The system is, like, there's a panda for the Gaudiya Math. There's a panda for the Shankaracharya Math. There's a panda for, you know. So the panda, Saraswati Thakur's panda, was someone named Balaram. And Saraswati Thakur had told him near the end of his final pastime, he said, Balaram, get a place in Govardhan and I will, soon I will come there and I will do my bhajan there. And so they're just, Saraswati Thakur says many things, they're trying to accommodate him, but he goes back to Puri, Calcutta, and leaves the world. But at the time he left the world, and this is before the internet, and, you know, there's like telephone or telegram, this panda, Balaraman Govardhan, he has a vision of Saraswati Thakur, and Saraswati Thakur says, and he says, Balaram, I've come. That's what he says. And he's... what is the condition of Prabhupada? And, you know, he sends, and they say, he left the world. Right? December 31st, 1936, January 1st, 1937. So as he left the world, he had a vision of him coming to Govardhan saying, Balaram, I've come. Right? So he expressed that. Then Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada in his final days. He's in Raman Reti in Vrindavan at the Krishna Balaram temple and can hardly move. Everyone knows it's going to happen soon, that he will leave the world. His condition is very delicate to move, and he tells the devotees to hire a bullock cart. That means like two wheels and a bull to pull your cart. He said, because I want to go to Govardhan. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj and some other, they just were losing their minds and trying to talk Prabhupada out of it. Because they're thinking like, that will finish him. And he's saying, no, you can make one bed on there. And that's how he didn't say get a car or, you know, he said get a bullock cart and make a little bedding on there with a pillow. Put me on there and take me to Govardhan. That's my desire. And so many of the devotees, they just started crying and begging Prabhupada not to force them to do this. So he withdrew that. But so he wanted to be there. And we were there with Srila Gurudev, Srila Bhakti Sundar Govindadev Goswami Maharaj. And he said, make a bhajan kutir for me. You know, I will go there and my friends will be there. And he said that song from Narottam about the four trees and four creepers. Kadamba, Bakul, Champak, and there's one more. And the creepers, Malati, Madhavi, like that. Like there's Malika, Malati, Madhavi, some others. Four trees, four creepers. That's Narottam, Bhaktivinoda and Narottam, they say like this is the perfect environment for doing bhajan. That means like smart internal culture. See, Prabhupada, Swami Maharaj would always say, work now, samadhi later. Saraswati Thakur told one of his disciples, don't, you know, I see what you're doing now. You're just serving all day and night and neglecting your spiritual. Don't think I missed that. In the future, I will give you one assistant and you'll be doing nam bhajan and all those things, you know. And whether it happened or not is irrelevant. The spirit of it is what is to be understood. But that he approved, like just fully immersing yourself in service at present. So he expressed that. And of course, Guru Maharaj, he told that, and I'll just conclude with this, that it's kind of amazing when all these pieces of like this divine puzzle fit together in time. But when at the inauguration of the ISKCON Chandradoya Mandir in Mayapur, where Guru Maharaj, the famous, they're sitting together and Gurudev sings and praises Swami Maharaj. Guru Maharaj and Swami Maharaj are telling how they like met each other initially. And they reflect upon this one pastime on the Brajamandal Parikrama when they're in Koshi. And Saraswati Thakur said, and apparently near there, there's a Vishnu deity, but has some connection to the gopis. And so they announced to the Parikramis, and they say, tonight, you know, the Maharaj is going to take you on a tour here. Otherwise, Prabhupada's staying here, and he'll, you know, as they say, take class this evening. So you have a choice, because you can't do both. So Prabhupada, Swami Maharaj says, I decided to stay because I'm, and hear Prabhupada, because I'm thinking, what will I see? You know. And Guru Maharaj says, I exercise. And they go, ha ha ha. And they both start laughing. Right? And Swami Maharaj later said, because he stayed, Saraswati Thakur said, oh, he doesn't leave, like he's serious. Like he noted, he marked that like he's an acute hearer, he's, you know, he noted that in a very favorable way. But Guru Maharaj also decided to stay. And that would be enough to be a story. Except because Guru Maharaj said, like, he remembers the lecture that evening and what was discussed. And he said, that evening, our Guru Maharaj gave a revolutionary explanation about Govardhan. Has to be Govardhana. And he said that, in essence, just to give it succinctly, he's saying that it's interesting. Like, Krishna is a Vaishya in Varnashram. That's why it's sometimes called the lower section of society, because you have Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishya, Shudra. So Shudra is the lowest, the labor class, but Vaishyas are just one class above Shudra. So they're also in the, if you drew a line in the middle, they'd be in the lower half. So it's the lower section. Brahmins and Kshatriyas considered higher. So Krishna comes in the middle. You know, his human-like pattern, they take place. You would think, you know, he would be a Brahmin. Or, you know, sometimes, when necessary, they point out that Balaram could technically be considered somewhat a Kshatriya. It's all very interesting. But Krishna is clearly a Vaishya. That's why sometimes people, they're telling these queens, like, you fell for a cowherd, you know. But anyway, so Vaishyas, Saraswati Thakur is saying, so what do? They increase the number of cows. How do they do that? He said, there's like no diksham natcha satkriyam purushcharjam managikshite mantro ryam rasana sprigeva palati Shri Krishna nam atmaka. Right? Akrishti kritacheta sam sumanasam uschantanam changhasang a Chandala Amukha Loka Sulabha Basya Mukya Sriya. They have no consideration about a Brahmin cow, Kshatriya cow, Vaishya cow, Shudra cow, even though there are gradations of cows, actually. They just make more cows. They have the bull, the potent source, and they make more cows. And he was saying, this is how Krishna conception is distributed in the Govardhan style. No consideration of caste or qualification, just the potent source is there, and then the Krishna conception impregnated, and you make more devotees. That's the gist of his talk that evening, and saying, and this is the mood and the spirit with which Krishna consciousness movement shall be expanded. How beautiful is that? And if it wasn't for that sort of generous vision of his, we wouldn't be here having this talk. Chidi liti vidi raga radhya radhe sadvani vilasatu hridi nityam bhakti siddhantavani. He loosened. He's not loose, but he knew he had to slacken things to allow others to get entrance. That's Vaikuntha Britti. A very generous, broad, all-encompassing, liberal view to bring others in connection with Krishna consciousness. And he's tracing that consistently and thematically to Govardhan. So how perfect is the vision of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur? And to remember all these things on this day. Hare Krishna.